of Luke chapter 2 in front of you. It would be helpful now if I would. I was talking with you and I failed to turn mine to Luke chapter 2, but you notice we have some specific verses that we would like to read. It's the Christmas story, one of them that we're so familiar with. We begin at verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then let's go to verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then we close with verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Father, how thankful we are that we can be reminded of the Christmas story. We thank you for what it means to us. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for its miracle. We thank you for its expression of love from you to mankind, that you were willing to send your only begotten Son for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you were willing to humble yourself and become a man, knowing full well what you faced, what was ahead, but you willingly did that in our place. We thank you for this Lord's Day. The blessings of the service so far. We thank you for those that participated, those that worked so hard. We thank you, Lord, that it all came together. And again, as we prayed at the outset, we trust it glorified you. Now, as we put our attention on your word and the things that you have for us in these closing moments, I pray, Lord, that you would have our attention, and that if there is anyone here that does not know the truth behind the Christmas story, Lord, your Spirit might speak to their hearts through your word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can see what you have for us as we address this morning the truth behind the story. And we just commit this to you. In your name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Scripturally, we've been preparing ourselves for the Christmas season the last three previous Sundays. It was 3 weeks ago today. We were in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Where the prophet said, For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we saw through the prophet's revelation, the coming one was going to be God himself. One was coming who truly is and was deity. 2 weeks ago today, we focused on Luke chapter 1, and we saw the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary as he told her that she had been selected by God to bear God's Son, and that she would conceive and bear a child by the power of the Holy Spirit rather than the normal means, by means of a man. Last Sunday, we looked at Matthew chapter 1, and we saw the dream that Joseph had. The scripture says it was a dream. I almost wonder if it was a nightmare. The scripture says dream, but you know, Joseph had a problem. He was espoused to a woman that he loved, but before they had ever come together, she was found with child. And he, because he loved her, it said he did not want to make a public example of her. Being espoused or engaged in that Hebrew culture was as binding as marriage itself. Actually, they were married. There was just a year's waiting time that before they could consummate it by living together. And he had two choices. Obviously, he thought this woman had been unfaithful to him. The first choice was, according to the Old Testament, he could make her a public example, which was simply take her outside the city bounds and stone her to death for her immorality. But he loved her, and he did not want to do that to her. So it said he was minded to put her away privately. There was one other way, according to Deuteronomy chapter 24. He could write her a bill of divorcement and could send her on her way. And that's what he was thinking about doing. But the angel, in a dream, said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto you Mary, your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she's going to bear a son. And I want you to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, we've seen these last three Sundays. But today we read in our scripture reading in Luke chapter 2, just moments ago, another familiar part of the familiar Christmas story, and that was the announcement to the shepherds and the fact that they went into Bethlehem, found the babe, Mary, Joseph, and worshiped the Lord, and then went back rejoicing in what they had seen. All of these things are so familiar to us. A number of years ago, I ran across a little article, and it presented the Christmas story in a different way, and I have used some of the points of that and put meat to it and want to share today. I want us to have a different approach to the Christmas story as we answer this question: why Christ came? Why Christ came. There are many answers we could give to you from Scripture to that question, but time only allows us a few. And so, having said that, in answer number one, why Christ came, he came to reveal God to us. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Here we read God, who at sundry or different times and in different ways or manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And that's referring to, of course, the Old Testament days. The writer says, hath in these last days, these days right now, he's spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, number one, heir of all things. Number two, by whom he made the worlds, number in verse three, who this one, his Son, it says he is the brightness of his glory and he is the express image of his person. He's like the carbon copy. He is like you have a mold and you put a soft substance in there and it takes on the exact. He is the express image of the Father. And we see and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, that refers to what he came for, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Why would he come to reveal God to us? Simply this. Man didn't know what the truth about God anymore. There was a time when man knew God, had had fellowship with him in the Garden of Eden. But because of sin, he had lost that fellowship, that relationship with God, and down through the ages, man substituted, changed, distorted his thoughts and his expression and his ideas about God until there was no true knowledge. Turn to Romans chapter 1. You say, Pastor, why are you having us look at this? Because I want us to see for ourselves. This isn't some story that I've made up. You find this in God's Word. Romans chapter 1, and notice beginning at verse 21. Here Paul said, because that when they knew God, you see, there was a time man knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Get this, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. You name it, if it can be worshipped it, if it can be worshipped, man has worshipped it. Wherefore, God also, he gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They didn't know what God was really like anymore. And so he sent his Son to reveal himself to us. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. During his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus showed us God's true nature, and he showed us that his Father is a holy God. He is a just God. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. The night that our Lord was betrayed by one of his own disciples, we find that before they went to the garden where the betrayal took place, Jesus instructed his disciples and he said, I am going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And I don't want you to be troubled about that, because if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, one of the disciples said, how can we get to the Father? Jesus' answer was, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Well, then another disciple said, Lord, show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. And so we see to that one, the Lord said in John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he said, Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how say you now, show us the Father? I've been showing you the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Everything that is true of the Father is true of Jesus Christ, his Son, because Jesus is God the Son. One of the things revealed to Joseph in his dream that night, as he was all upset about marrying the woman he loved, he was told that the Son that Mary would bear would be called Emmanuel. Last song we sang before I stood up here. Emmanuel, that's what he's going to be called. Not so much the title as the character, because Emmanuel means God with us. And that's what he'll be called. So why did Christ come? He came to reveal God to us. But number two, he came to fulfill God's law for us. He came to fulfill God's law for us. The law of God was an unbearable burden for man. Christ came to fulfill all its types and meet its every demand. During our Lord's earthly ministry, he was accused by the religious leaders who opposed him as, you're trying to destroy the law of Moses. And Jesus' answer was this in Matthew 5:17. I'll read it, don't turn to it. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. God had given his law to his people through Moses. And there on the mount, they had willingly agreed to it. That law, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, was actually holy, spiritual, good. But there was a problem connected with it. The problem was this: no one could keep or fulfill all of its requirements. In fact, there was actually a curse associated with that law. And Paul told the Galatians this: cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now you add weight to that. Listen to what James wrote. Further on in the New Testament, he said, Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, even if there would have been somehow someone, sometime that could have kept every point of the Old Testament law, do you know the truth is, according to God's will, they still would not have been declared righteous, justified in the sight of God. Why, you say? Because Paul put it this way in Romans, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith, without the deeds of the law. Perhaps Paul said it best as he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 11, when he said this, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For, or because, the just shall live by faith. And beloved, the law was not faith. It was works. It was doing. Got to try to do this. Got to fulfill that if I'm going to do what God states. Perhaps one of you are sitting there and you're thinking, well, Pastor, if that's really true, then I got a question for you. If no one would ever be righteous in God's eyes, even if they could have kept the whole law, my question is, then why did God give the law? That's a valid question, isn't it? Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. We needed the law to know what sin is. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Paul said, the law was our schoolmaster. Our kids are just now enjoying the Christmas break away from the teachers. The law was our teacher. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified, get this, by faith. That's why God gave the law. How thankful we can be that Christ came to fulfill every requirement God had revealed in his law. So what have we seen? Why did Christ come? He came, number one, to reveal God to us. He came, number two, to fulfill God's law for us. God had given the law. Someone had to fulfill it, and praise the Lord, his son fulfilled it. But number three, as we continue on, he came, according to Luke chapter 19, verse 10, these words, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. The third reason. He came to seek and to save the lost. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, Isaiah the prophet wrote, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. We're doing our own things. We got lost. We got lost in our sins. And we find here the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. What's another word for iniquity? Sin. But I'm not that bad of a sinner. Well, it only takes one sin. Just like it only took, you keep the whole law, but you break one and you got the whole slate against you. I'm not that bad of a sinner. Paul put it in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I hate to tell you, none of us have ever made it on our own because we're sinners. Now, okay, I understand about the seeking sinners, but why did he come seeking them? Because according to Romans chapter 3, no one naturally is seeking after God. You say, I take exception to that. You know, I've been interested in God my whole life. Well, let me just tell you what God says about it here in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, and now get this, there is none that seeketh after God. I didn't say that. God did. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so, why did Christ come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Because we weren't looking for him. He came looking for us. Well, how could he save us? He saved us by giving his life for us. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Well, what do you mean, give his life for the sheep? Well, remember what we saw in Isaiah? He would, who his own self bear. That's the Peter portion I want to read for you. Let me just go to that. I've got it in front of me. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear on in his own body on the tree. He bear what? Our sins. In his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Isaiah the prophet had said that the Lord was going to lay on him the iniquity of us all, way back there in Isaiah, the portion that we looked at in Isaiah 53, 6. Well, Peter mentioned in that verse, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we should live unto righteousness. That brings us to our fourth reason why Christ came. He came to give us eternal life. He came to give us eternal life. John 10, 10, I am come that they might have life. John 10, 28, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The most familiar verse to all is John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. John said it this way in John 5, 24. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth and believeth. Have you been listening these last few moments as I've been speaking? Have you been hearing? Have you been listening to what God has done for you? Do you believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? That's why Christ came. He came seeking and saving that which was lost. Do you believe what God has said to you? Have you received God's gift through His Son? John said in John 1:12, but as many as received Him by faith, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on Him, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Beloved, God sent His Son because He wanted people to know the truth about Him. There was a law that needed to be fulfilled, and no one could fulfill it. So He sent His Son to fulfill it for you and me, and He sent His Son seeking and so that He could seek and save lost ones like you and me. And the only way His Son could do that is to go on the cross and die in your place and mine. And Scripture says when He did that, don't ask me how. How? Thousands of years before any of us were born, He could bear our sins in His own body on the tree. That's what His Word says. So that we should live unto righteousness. It's not the usual Christmas story, is it? But thank God for these truths behind that which is so familiar. If I've said something and you aren't sure and you say, well, I'm not sure that I've ever received the gift of everlasting life, I'd be happy to talk to you when we're gone, when we're dismissed. I would be happy to show you from Scripture these truths once again and answer any questions you might have. We want you to receive the Lord as your own personal Savior and put your faith and trust in Him. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You for these truths behind the Christmas story. We thank You for what we could see in these few moments. We pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here unsure of whether or not they truly do trust in Christ as their Savior, pray that You would show them that. They might even have courage to say something about it. Thank You, Father, for all of these expressions of Your love for us. I trust You receive the glory. That was our heart's desire. In Your name we pray. Amen.